Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Today's Egg Chasers Rugby podcast is going to be powered by Stollen. Homemade marzipan filled German bread.
I've never had Stollen until just then.
That's wonderful, Phil.
It's good, isn't it?
Feeling incredibly festive, and it's only today, the 23rd of November.
Yeah.
So, I think Christmas should officially start on Bonfire Night and then all.
And then it's just Christmas. Yeah. Well, that's too much.
It's not too much.
That's too long for the supermarkets to have to wait. to get stuff in the stores. Right, hands in, let's do this. Pod on three. One, two, three.
Pod!
Well, after another weekend of autumn, internationals and Premiership and Pro 12, we have got loads to talk about on this week's Egg Chasers Rugby podcast. But firstly, a thank you for listening. Thank you if you're a subscriber. If you're not, then please do. Our numbers keep going up, and that's just thanks to you for that. So tell your mates, we don't have any way of advertising ourselves other than with you. So you can get us on iTunes, you can get us on Audio Boom, and we very much appreciate you being with us. I'm Tim, that is JB.
Good day, Tim.
And that is Phil.
Hi, Tim.
Good day.
Good day to you, sir.
Wow, this is a different JB. I'm not sure I'm happy with this.
Now, Tim, have you been busy this week?
Yeah, really busy.
Well, how have you had the time to mock up the most elaborate set of instruments in order to recreate the voice of Iula Erinley?
That needs some explanation. Well, we do the podcast from my office, if you like, at work. It's the studio at XFM where I do a show Monday to Friday. And JB's absolutely right. Right in front of where JB sits is a huge, big mixing desk, which is linked up to a microphone, which is sat next to me, which I'm going to be using on air. And it does. It allows me to do.
Why
do
XFM? It allows me to do this.
Why do XFM want Iula Erinley in studio? What is he? What are you promoting?
If you're not familiar with Iula Erinley, you'll remember he was a. I'm going to come off this.
He used to play for Wasps, and he went over to France to play for Biarritz. And he also had a spell at Nottingham.
And Leicester Tigers.
And England.
And Leicester Tigers and England. You're quite right. Centre.
Warren Gatlin said the best impact player he's ever coached.
Wow.
There you go. Iula Erinley facts.
Wow.
And on Countdown. Don't forget Countdown.
Yeah, he won on Countdown. You're quite right. Well, and also it was about a couple of years ago when Nottingham Rugby Club had a Christmas song that featured Iula Erinley's incredible. He's not even a bass singer. It's below a bass.
It's quite incredible.
We could be in the Prem.
Well, so could anyone. I set my sights on this.
Say what, after eating Phil's Stollen, this just feels right. But check out Iula Erinley.
Keep your feet on the ground. The league's so tight now. The playoffs are in our sights. I build my dreams.
Such a ridiculous look. I build my dreams around the championship playoffs.
Around the championship playoffs.
So yeah, we can have Iula Erinley anytime you want. He's right here. He's on tap. That's just how we roll. All the stars want to be on the show. Iula is in a little box in front of JB whenever we want to hear from him. But no, there's so much to talk about. Where to begin?
Wales, maybe?
Yeah.
I think we should start with Wales. I think it's a good call.
Disappointing.
What did you make of it?
Really competitive first 60 minutes. Then I got up to get a drink from the bar and Slade scored. and then they didn't stop scoring.
How unlike Wales to compete really well and then not last the 80 minutes.
Didn't think Jamie Roberts was going to be as good as he was.
He was brilliant. He had Sonny Bill in his pocket, didn't he?
Which is incredible. I thought Sonny Bill was going to absolutely dominate that situation.
But both in attack and defence. Like, he was constantly making yards at the gay line, and in defence he really, that rush defence where he's getting up in their face and forced far more knock-ons than I think I've ever seen New Zealand make.
Is this mental or is this physical with Wales? Because we're always hearing about how Wales pride themselves on their fitness, how they're so strong fitness-wise, and Warren Gatland, they work on their conditioning. They're in Poland for a month training, making sure their fitness was at a peak. And yet they cannot seem to play for 80 minutes. In South Africa, everyone was going, what a heroic defeat. Lost in the 79th minute when there were 6 points up, lost a penalty try. Australia, a couple of weeks ago, lost it with 10 minutes left. And New Zealand, again, just suddenly their form and their ability evaporated. How much is mental? How much is physical?
I think it's physical, but I think that then causes a mental deterioration. So if you're 10% off physically, you won't be quite making the right decisions at the right time. Your position will be slightly off. Your judgment will be slightly off. I think it is physical, and then that causes the mental deterioration.
I might be wrong in saying this, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's Mike Phillips' last ever game for Wales, because he just was rubbish.
Yeah.
And I'm a big Phillips fan. There again, I kind of think if 6'4" scrum halves worked, everyone would have one.
But it has worked for many years.
Has it?
Yeah.
I mean, when's last... I mean, it's got us so far, I guess, but it hasn't got us into that top three. It hasn't beaten a Southern Hemisphere side.
Stuart Lancaster's had a lot of stick, and I'm sure we'll get onto that, but he has actually tasted victory against the Southern Hemisphere twice.
Yep.
Warren Gatland's never done it.
I expected New Zealand to always be that little bit ahead, but until 65, 68 minutes, it was a one-point ball game, and in 68 minutes, Wales were winning until Bowden Barrett scored that.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who they're playing. New Zealand do it to everybody, Southern Hemisphere, Northern Hemisphere, Ireland, and
Scotland was exactly the same. There was an article in the Rugby Paper probably about a month ago now that was hailing New Zealand's physical fitness, just saying that they are far and away the fittest team. And so when it comes to 60 minutes, 70 minutes, they will always maintain their level of performance, whereas the other teams drop off. And I think we've really seen that in the last few months.
Yeah, pretty devastating loss, that one.
Well, one thing, though, and last week I played Murray Field's reaction to the Haka and how good that was. I think we should play, for my money, aside from the Haka, this is the best curtain raiser to a match. How jealous as an Englishman am I of this?
Yeah, it's cool.
Oh. What does it feel like being a Welshman watching? It was such a great anthem.
It is a good anthem, isn't it? It's
no, but that particular rendition by that crowd.
They're all good. No, they're all good renditions. There's never a bad one.
Oh.
Do you know the best places to watch a game? The best place, bar none.
When the last note's done. I'm so jealous as an Englishman of that.
Yeah.
Our anthem is rubbish.
Yeah, it's terrible.
It is bad.
Your anthem is our anthem, actually. Well, you don't actually have your own anthem.
Technically.
It's pretty impressive. Back to Haka, make him do it in the changing room. They were going over in the highlights all the Welsh responses to the Haka. Of course, as I've documented on this show many a time now, the Haka is a farce. And they should make him do it in the change room, because you're not allowed to sing back at them, you're not allowed to get within 10 metres of them, or you get fined by, not the IRB anymore, World Rugby.
World Rugby, yeah.
But you know what we were talking about with the New Zealand Haka on last week's podcast, just saying how, you know, that they practice it and stuff. And what we were just talking about with their physical preparation. I think everything New Zealand do is meticulous. And I noticed that when I watched Samoa's war dance. I'm sorry if you're a Samoan, I don't know the name of it. Perhaps you can tell me.
Sorry to all our Samoan listeners.
It was rubbish. It looked like the guys were trying to remember it. And as a result, there was no menace in the eyes of the Samoans. It looked like a sort of school Christmas performance.
Is it Samoans that aren't getting paid?
It is. Yeah. It is a Samoa United.
That's a pretty shocking story, this.
It's an absolutely dreadful story, yeah.
For anyone that hasn't heard, go on, Phil.
So the basis of it is there's apparently a lot of missing funds, like IRB, World Rugby payments, have gone to Samoa that none of them have seen the players. And there's a big issue because the Samoan Rugby Union is headed by the Samoan Prime Minister.
Yes.
And there's all sorts of allegations about money being siphoned off. But some of the facts are that...
Loves a fact.
The player allowance for when they're playing on one of these tours is $1,000. That's not been increased since 1990.
Fact.
What?
And I think they get that, but basically everything else, so their own airfares, their hotels, all that stuff, the players have to fund themselves.
Wow.
You're kidding me.
No.
Fact.
So that you can rightly understand why that they're a little bit aggrieved about this.
Yes. And now, haven't World Rugby said that if they do go on strike, if they don't play, they'll be suspended or there'll be serious repercussions for the players?
Yeah.
Why are World Rugby not doing more about this? Or are they turning slowly into FIFA?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure about like that high-level negotiation or those discussions. But yeah, there was talk because they were threatening to strike during the England game and not play it unless they can get at least some of their demands discussed with the Samoan Federation.
So the England team did the huddle at the end. That was a nice touch, little show of solidarity. I don't know if the England players will have given a penny of their £14,000 match fee to the Samoans.
Here's the thing, right? There have been like campaigns in the past which have been far less worthy and received far more attention. The one I'm thinking of is Justice for Backies. I mean, what was he caught doing? Like gouging or something, or he got suspended?
The Lions 2009, when he only got like a 2-week ban for was that
Schalkberger?
Something happened. It was like, this really isn't worthy of T-shirts.
There was the Save Shrek campaign as well. Henry Fourey.
Who was perfectly legal to be here and stay here forever, but they just didn't realise.
His working visa run out. He thought he was going to get deported. And had this big campaign, Save Shrek campaign. Basically, it got to border control or whoever it was, and they said, well, you just apply for a different visa. You don't apply for a working visa. You apply for like a citizen visa or whatever it is. You'll be fine.
The amount of newspaper articles, TV spots.
How would you get rid of Henry Free? Would you have to use cattle prods and stuff? And get him into six burly men trying to get into a van.
Just get another good flanker to like hustle, a better flanker. Richie McCaw down here, hustle him out of the country.
I met him the other day. Actually, he's a thoroughly nice bloke.
Is he,
Henry Free? Really lovely bloke.
So you're saying about the Samoan war dance, whatever it's called, and their lack of enthusiasm. Now, this is something I've noticed with the Islander teams in this Autumn Internationals, or this round of Autumn Internationals, that their organisation isn't very good. So their set piece, if you look at the statistics, as you know I always do, their lineouts and scrums, they lose far more of. But if you take the Samoan game, I think they lost 4 or 5 lineouts.
Yeah, unfortunately, those 4 or 5 lineouts were those 14-man lineouts they were trying.
But their territory, their possession, their number of carries, all that stuff was better than England's. But it's their set piece that's letting them down, which is partly because the team will only get together like the week before because they've not got the funds, they've not got the central union, they've not got the players available at the right time. If those teams do get that extra bit of time, they get their set piece sorted, they could be real forces.
Just on one thing, you know, obviously, as we talked about on the last podcast, New Zealand employ only the best. So maybe they could loan Louis Spence to Samoa during the World Cup next year to make their war dance a little bit better. Also, one other thing people love seeing of Samoa, and I'm going to sound like JB when I say this. Johnny Leota put in a perfectly legal, wonderful, massive hit on George Ford.
A great hit.
There was absolutely nothing wrong with it. It was good. It was fair. It was honest.
It's so well timed.
A yellow card.
Yeah.
That's what we love seeing when Samoa come to town.
I would sack every international ref tomorrow and I'd bring in the guys from Rugby League because they know how to officiate. They officiate within the spirit of the laws.
They can officiate with a big camera rig on the side of their head.
I love that. It's so necessary. Robo ref.
Yeah, that hit is upsetting because it was perfectly legal. It was absolutely fine. Great timing. And there was no injury cause because George Ford, fair play to him, he just bounced straight up and carried on.
Yeah.
There's nothing off George Ford. It's like when a 3-year-old falls over, they're absolutely fine.
It's easy to talk with hindsight about George Ford, but how many people were saying Saturday evening, told you so, Stu?
Well, it's obvious, wasn't it?
It was obvious. It's not that I don't think Owen Farrell's an extremely good player, or even
an extremely good player,
or even as good a 10.
He's
as
a capable 10,
but he hasn't played. He played one game before chucking him into the All Blacks, and you see what a difference it makes when someone is kind of match fit and match sharp.
Really on form as well.
We're never going to know what we would have done against South Africa or New Zealand with in form, match sharp selections having been made. Just something we'll never ever know. But the man who is absolutely cast iron on his facts, he loves a fact. It's time for Phil's facts. Now, we had a wonderful fact sent in last week, and I said as a result, right, Phil loves a fact, he loves his stats, so send in some facts for Phil's facts, and the best ones we will credit you, and then we will share on the podcast. So Phil's facts.
Wales have not beaten New Zealand for 26 consecutive matches.
Fact.
Going back to 1953, I think it is.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
We used to have an empire then.
Yeah.
last time we beat New Zealand, we had an empire.
And same game, Richie McCaw, who made his 100th appearance. He 100th appearance as captain. He's now on 88 wins as captain, which is more wins as captain than anyone else has even played as an international captain.
Fact.
That says everything.
And one more?
Yeah, go on.
Sergio Parise has the distinction of being the captain with the most defeats. International captain with the most defeats.
Poor Sergio.
Fact.
Let's guess. I'm going to go for 40 defeats.
36.
JB would get the point. 46. 46 losses as captain.
Wow, that's a lot.
Poor Sergio.
Wonderful facts there, Phil. Wonderful facts. Thank you, Aidan Pearce. Thank you, Liam Duncan. And thank you, Mark Hutchins, for those wonderful facts. At Rugby Podcast, tweet us some more top facts for Phil's facts next time out. I'll tell you what, just before we depart England, is there anything else you want to talk about with that one? Because Stuart Lancaster, even in his post-match interview, hinted he will keep George Ford at 10. Do you think he'll keep Owen Farrell at 12?
God knows. I don't know what he's thinking at the moment. I mean, I know the problem is, I do know what he's thinking. I just don't know why he's thinking it. he will, because he's a very loyal coach, and we've been over this before. He's loyal, and that's great, and he's a very competent coach, and that's where it ends.
Do you not think he'll give 12 trees a good... I don't think it's 12... Or Eastman?
I think Eastman might get another shot.
Because Eastman, he played for Bath, but he didn't play for England because he wasn't unable to train until after Thursday because he was going through concussion protocol.
What's happened to Teddy Thomas?
Teddy Thomas. Oh, yeah.
Well, it's a bit of a tangent. Yeah, we're just talking about England.
No. I'll tell you why I brought that up. Because Eastmond missed two consecutive training sessions, so got released back to Bath. Teddy Thomas missed two sessions and has been dropped completely.
Teddy Thomas didn't turn up for a training session.
That's a little bit more serious.
It's a bit of a difference.
Yeah.
I hope he goes for Kyle Eastmond. And I think George Ford has earned his place at 10 for the next match. And I hope he picks Eastmond at 12.
And then Big Luth. Outside centre.
We'll see. You said Stuart Lancaster is just a competent coach. Here's a question for you. Are there any good British coaches? Reason I ask is, well, we'll talk about Ireland and look at what Joe Schmidt has done at Ireland. Look at Vern Cotter and what he's doing with Scotland. Warren Gatland has had some good pedigree at Wales. All the other home unions have gone for New Zealanders.
Makes sense.
Are there any good British coaches?
Well, I actually played a team this weekend who were coached by a great British coach. One Brian Ashton coaches Vale of Loon. Just thought I'd drop that in.
Really?
Yeah, they play very, very attractive rugby. Still beat them, though.
but Brian Ashton doesn't have the pedigree and doesn't have the accolades and silverware.
Oh, he's definitely not the answer. I just thought I'd name drop.
Yeah.
no, I'd tell you the guy who I would like to see is Toby Booth. I think he's a really good coach.
Yeah, but is he not just... This is kind of my point.
Yeah,
What's he ever won?
But he took London Irish to a Premiership final.
Yeah.
Which is pretty good.
Stuart Lancaster got Leeds to avoid relegation.
He won
the Churchill Cup with the Saxons.
That's a big win.
This is what I'm saying. There is no pedigree. There was
what's Vern Cotter won? The answer you're looking for, Tim, is Jim Mallander.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, Jim Mallander.
All right, yeah, I'll go with that.
Yeah, I think Jim Mallander's clear, I think, head and shoulders away, the leading English candidate at least.
If you're going to go English, I go Mallander. You could say Baxter's made a good case, but again, by the same token, if you're saying someone who's won something, besides winning the... he won the LV Cup last year.
And he got promotion. Promoted using the full salary cap.
Yes, yeah.
But, you know, overall, a pretty decent coach, one would say. Back to the coaches that have won stuff.
Fearncotter has won...
the top 14.
Top 14 2009-10.
Runners-up in the Heineken Cup, winners of the European Challenge Cup, winners of Super Rugby, two consecutive years with the Crusaders.
Mm. Mm. So he's not really much success in the Northern Hemisphere then?
Yeah, but who has? This is the point.
Warren Gatland. He's got two European Cups.
Well, exactly. He's at Wales. England could have... This is exactly my point. England were dilly-dallying about who their coach was going to be, and Wales went, we'll have Gatland and Edwards then. We'll have them.
Yeah.
Because England were thought to be considering them, but didn't. England could have had Vearncotter if they wanted him. Basically, England could have... We talked about this before. They can have whoever they want.
Yeah.
They've got the biggest... deepest pockets of any rugby nation. They could have had Vearncotter, they could have had Joe Schmidt. And Joe Schmidt is the one, when you look at his pedigree, that guy's won everything.
I think
he just wins.
The mistake England made, right, is this: let's hold off, let's do it by committee, let's get a caretaker in. And the caretaker did very well in his next five games.
Yeah.
And he was taken over from someone who, with the best one in the world, was just not a coach. In Martin Johnson.
Yeah, he had no experience of coaching or managing rugby, anything like that.
So it was hard not to improve. And let's not forget, he is a good coach. So he is going to improve the team. He's just not the best in the world.
There's something about these New Zealand coaches, in this case, Schmidt, Cotter, Gatlin, those three that I've named, they're able to unlock things in Northern Hemisphere players. You look at the way Ireland played against Australia, attacking, fluent, modern, progressive, unshackled rugby, and also with hard edges and using what's good about the Northern Hemisphere, you know, strong forward pack and all of that and direct running. They can harness that, but they can unleash this set of skills and this way of playing that I don't get the impression English coaches are able to do.
Do you think this leads... I mean, this is an age-old debate, but it's worth having again, I guess. Do they play like that because of relegation? Is that why it's such up-the-jumper, you know, tight rugby? Because they're worried about making mistakes.
I think there's two things. Yeah, there's one, you've obviously got to qualify for the Heineken Cup to get the most money for next season.
Yep.
You want to get in the playoffs, so you've got to play kind of low-risk rugby for that and avoid relegation. But also, I think the conditions do dictate it a lot, where more often than not, you're playing right over winter, so anytime from October to about March, it could be hammering it down, freezing cold, terrible pitch.
Look at how many driving mauls we suddenly started seeing last weekend, and how, you know, if a rugby, to be fair, that old cliche that rugby league used, kick and clap, to describe rugby union, if they turned on a lot of the games over the weekend, they would have just gone, it's just kick and clap.
Yeah. Mm. And it's forwards trying to rumble it up and like pick and go, 1 yard pass and crash it up. It's forced to be that limited game.
What about, would you ever consider Mike Ford as a future England coach?
Maybe in time, but my point is, England have the deepest pockets.
Yeah, why don't they get the best guy?
Maybe we just need to actually not be shackled by it being an Englishman and just get the best guy. I'm not necessarily saying it would guarantee being better, but I watched the Ireland game and just went, I wish we played like that.
Give me three names. Give me your best coach in the world right now, the best English coach, and the most overrated international coach.
Jim Mallander, best English coach.
Yep.
Yeah, go with that.
Best coach in the world right now. Right now, Joe Schmidt. With the resources he's got and the job he's doing.
I think you've nailed the first two. I'd go with them.
Yeah, I'd go with that. Particularly when you look at the injury list of Ireland as well.
Most overrated
international coach.
Saint-André.
That's a good one. I would go with Scott Johnson. I know he's not I know he's not coaching international at the moment, but how many jobs has he had? And how many wins does he have? Not many.
Well, you know, he never...
I mean, he was great in Highlander, but after that...
I don't think he gives it enough commitment because he knows he can always be a Gerard Depardieu lookalike.
for Saint-André, he had two good wins, and then, do you see the France-Argentina game? Really strange. France were just suffocated for the whole of that first half. They almost failed to get out of their half. No ball at all. And Argentina, Nicolas Sanchez and Hernandez, kick the corners and kick drop goals from everywhere.
I love that.
Four drop goals.
By the way, Brian Ashton's team, Vale of Loon, who I played on the weekend, beat, they are actually banned from kicking. This is not a joke. They are actually banned from kicking. And every line-out that they have is a four-man line-out, four- or five-man line-out, including on our own five-metre when you'd expect the old driving more.
So what's Brian Ashton's thinking there as head coach? He's just like, let's...
It's a toy, isn't it?
It's fun. Oh, my God, I want to play for Vale of Loon.
I don't. Yeah. I want a 10 who kicks it, and I love to watch the kick chase. Kick the ball and then release the dogs.
Yeah. Having played against Fylde quite a few times over the years, who he coached for a few years, and he had instilled exactly the same mentality on them. They would run everything from everywhere, and they had a really, really good skill set. So all their forwards were offloading, they were breaking tackle and passing, and they were using them like one, two, three out to... short little passes just to get it wide and then put the pace on it out wide.
Oh, wonderful.
It's great to watch, but really they only scored one try against us.
We've been going all this time now and we haven't mentioned Ireland, other than just brief mention. That was a great result and brilliant performance.
A hell of a game as well. Probably the best game of the Autumn International so far.
I can't believe they've not booked into face the All Blacks this tour. The real shame. I'd like to have seen that.
They have got some devilishly handsome players as well.
Tommy Bowe.
Tommy Bowe is a wonderful specimen, as is...
Connor Murray.
What a good-looking chap.
Isn't he like...
Carney as well.
He's what Mike Phillips should be, Connor Murray.
Connor Murray,
yeah. I always thought Connor Murray was not like Mike Phillips liked. Wrong.
He was in the Lions tour.
Yeah.
He was definitely... Just Gatland saw him as Mike Phillips.
Yeah, we need another one of them.
Yeah.
Big Mike.
Yeah. That'll do. Give him some longer studs. Get him taller.
Wonderful performance. It was beautiful to watch.
Yeah. And the choke tackle is so effective.
My favourite tactic.
They identify it so well. As soon as one man's in there, even if it's Johnny Sexton, it doesn't matter who it is, as soon as one man's there, they just flood in.
I love it.
And turnover every time. It's fantastic.
Before we move on, I just want to ask this one question, a little hypothetical question, because this weekend coming up, as you listen to it, next weekend as we're talking now, there's two British fighters that are going to be boxing against each other. Derek Chisora and Tyson Fury. And it's been dubbed the bad boys of boxing.
Who are the good boys of boxing, by the way?
Yeah.
If they weren't boxing, they'd be robbing your house.
So if there was two British bad boys of rugby that were going to go head to head, who are the baddest boys in rugby?
That's a good question. I don't know about English, but in world rugby, the one I always wanted to see was Botha v Grewcock.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
That's always one. In fact, so much so that when the Lions went over to South Africa, I was like, just bring him with you. Just bring him with you.
Just get back his yellow carded every match.
Exactly.
I was at Bath University, and we used to, the university gym, the Bath squad used to come and train in, do their weights on the Olympic platforms and that. And just watching Danny Grewcock work out. Oh, it was incredible.
Strong man?
Oh, ridiculous. The guy was
huge, isn't he?
He's a freak.
He's a black belt in some combat sport or another.
Really?
Yeah.
Like Matt Stevens.
Matt Stevens.
Mm. I'd back Danny Grewcock against anyone. Maybe with the exception of Jamie Cudmore.
That'd be mine. Botha, Grewcock.
Oh, that's good.
If we're going British,
yeah,
I think, yeah, England don't really have too many bad boys.
Not really.
A lot of public
Callum Clark.
Public school boys. Yeah, Callum Clark.
He's a bad boy. Oh, Callum Clark against Kevin Yates, the armbarist against the biter. Yeah, that's a good one.
You have to have an experienced referee for that bout.
I'd quite like to see Andy Powell.
Herb Dean.
Andy Powell against...
Andy Powell.
Mike Phillips, something like that.
I've got it. Sebastian Chappelle.
Oh, yes.
Oh, wow.
A clash of cultures. You've got this Cantonar-like figure on one side, philosophical Cantonar-type one with fairy wings, and on the other side you've got
a blonde hair, white suit
comes into the ring in a golf cart. If you want to make a suggestion or get in touch about anything else, at Rugby Podcast is where you can find us on Twitter. We'll get to the Premiership, we'll get to the Pro 12 in just a second. I've got to play you a little something I have though. This is from England Rugby's YouTube channel, and it's Joe Marler and Jack Noel having a chat and being asked by some rugby volunteers about the World Cup. And check out Jack Noel attempting to say the name of an African rugby nation, the rugby nation of your favourite player, JB.
Yes.
Exeter, one of the host stadiums for... What pool have you got?
Tonga.
Tonga.
Yeah. And Namibia. and the, what was that name you just said?
Namibia.
No, what is it?
Namibia.
That's not a, just a clarify. That's not a country. Namibia.
That's what I said.
No, you're saying Namibia.
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 No, it's not Namibia.
There's Jack Noel. Can't speak.
Can't speak.
But he did.
I can't speak.
He did score two tries this weekend.
He did.
Did he?
He did. Yeah.
He's saying, "Don't forget about me." He had his. He had his Movember. There's a lot of rugby players going for the sort of the Three Musketeers type moustache. That's yeah. one of them.
Is it Spencer who did it today for... No, sorry, it was Will Fraser, wasn't it?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, he's got a good one.
Yep.
But Knowles is not just Movember, is it? It's all year round.
Yeah,
all year round,
it is. Yeah. He makes a career out of looking ridiculous.
The blonde streak, the little rat's tail, the
It's a good look, isn't it?
Full sleeve tattoo. Interesting.
It's like the bingo of bad taste. sleeve tattoo. You know,
it's a good job he...
Flash hoops must be next.
It's a good job he's fast and a good rugby player.
Yes,
if he looked
is.
Like that and it was just day-to-day life...
What would he be doing, like working in a...
You have to be a coffee shop or...
A games workshop.
Yeah,
games workshop.
Selling trolls.
No, I can see him as a barista.
Yeah, barista or...
A barista in the city.
some trendy bar in Shoreditch or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
He needs to work on that.
Yeah.
He certainly does. Right, so Premiership is back and fine win for Sale Sharks, who always seem to do well at this time of year because they often, and again, this time is no different, they lose the least amount of players. And they're getting players returning from injury at the right time. Dan Bray, so influential for them, and a great win away at Quinns.
Yeah, Dan Bray's great, isn't he? Really underrated.
And Patterson as well. Patterson played really well.
And I liked the fullback as well. I thought he had a very good game.
Haley. Mike Haley.
Now, he was playing locally. I'd say like Preston Grasshopper 2s or something.
He's only 20, I think.
Is he?
Yeah.
London Welsh Leicester. Of all the matches over the weekend, I'm so glad they saved the best one till last.
Oh, they really did.
London Welsh, it looked like it was going to be a famous match when after the 17 minutes they'd scored in front of the fence.
Yes.
The power of the fence at the Kasam
Stadium. They should really
get
like a creosote sponsor, shouldn't they? Yeah. They were 0-0 3 minutes in. I thought that was an exceptional result for London Welsh.
If it stayed like that.
Yeah. They could just defend that draw. They're,
That's about all I want to talk about with that game. It was ugly. It was really ugly. The game earlier, though, against Saracens Northampton, that was a bit of a thriller.
It was good.
With Sarries going down, three tries each, but Stephen Myler, a couple of extra penalties made the difference.
Even when they lose players, they've got like that next level to step up. They're a really good squad.
I think the league table is pretty much give or take as we expected it to be, except for Exeter in second. 8 games, 28 points. It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yes.
It really is. Newcastle's a big win at Gloucester.
Newcastle again. We all predict. Well, me and Phil, we predicted that, didn't we?
Yeah.
We said we fancied Newcastle in that game.
Gloucester. I've not actually watched the game, but Gloucester scored a try after 1 minute, and then after that, it seemed to be all Newcastle.
Newcastle must have a phenomenal run of form at the moment. Then.
Yeah.
6-7 or something.
Yeah, they're probably on something like that.
Fair play. I had them written off.
It's weird talking about the Pro 12 and the Premiership whilst the Autumn Internationals are on. There's a little part of me that doesn't really care as much.
No, I really give...
Yeah.
I just don't. Because it's not the proper product, is it? Because you know you're missing at least the 15 best.
Well, 30 best. Well, 20, yeah. 23 best, at least.
The one performance is probably definitely worth a mention, and not just because it's Phil's team in the Pro 12, is the Ulstermen, who beat Ospreys, the first defeat for Ospreys, and puts Ulster right up there in second place in the Pro 12.
Yeah.
So Ospreys and Ulster have both got 30 points.
I nearly watched Pro 12 today. Turned on the Sky. I thought, Pro 12, I did make a commitment that I would watch it, and it was Treviso someone, and I turned
Treviso.
It straight.
Treviso got a draw against Leinster.
Leinster.
Bath got a convincing away win at London Irish. They have got some issues, London Irish. They haven't played well. They've got a lot of players out, injured, and internationals, but their Islanders will return, and I would expect that to make a big difference. I was looking at they had a lot of penalties against, particularly at scrum time. Right, I think we should use our grey matter a little bit, have a little bit of a quiz. What do you reckon?
Yes.
I'm so up for this quiz, I cannot tell you.
You're going to win this week, Jay.
I am. I've just been stretching off my hamstrings.
Am I 4-0?
No, you're not 4-0.
That sounds about... I don't think
you haven't won it. We've drawn one.
Yeah, because
and
of
I've
the
won
stupid
three.
Format of the questions.
A blab workman never blames his tools.
The questions are...
I blame this tool. What's the rubbish scoring system he had?
Yes.
There we go. Phil's got a quiz for us, so get a pen and paper out or whatever to play along with. And
what do you say on the Big Breakfast? Don't phone in, it's just for fun.
Don't phone in, it's just for fun. Although people were tweeting and going they did better than us. So
whatever.
That's not really hard, especially doing better than JB. So, so it's currently 4-1 to me.
Now, because of Jay's
3-0, whichever. Yeah.
4-1, let's say. Because of Jay's terrible scoring record, the little list at the end is in JB's favour.
Oh, even worse.
So how patronised do you feel now, Jay?
Very patronised.
So, question number one.
Yeah.
Richie McCaw played his 100th test as captain for New Zealand this week. Two players are in second and third place with 84 and 83 matches as captain. Who are they? So we're looking for two names.
Oh God!
And what was the other one? What were the caps? Sorry.
So it's 84 mm-hmm. caps as captain and 83 caps as captain.
Nailed. And who else?
Right, I'll come back to that. I'll think of myself. I've got one name.
Okay. Question number two.
Yeah.
World Cup winning flanker Maggie Alfonsi has turned her hands to Athletic in a bid to make the 2016 Olympics. In which event, it's a track and field event, is she planning on competing?
How on earth would I know this?
If you read about rugby, you might know.
It's not a rugby story.
It is a rugby story.
Say it again. I just want
to... So, World Cup winning flanker Maggie Alfonsi has turned her hand to Athletics in a bid to make the 2016 Olympics. In which track and field event is she planning on competing?
Okay. I don't know. I'll have a go.
Okay, number three. What is the minimum number of attackers and defenders required to form a maul?
Oh, that's a really good question.
So is it five attackers and six defenders? Or
That'd be excessive, I feel.
I think that's too many. But...
Okay.
Tim's a ref.
I have refereed. I'm not a ref. Go on then.
Okay, number four.
Yeah.
Johnny May on last week's O2 Inside Line revealed that he was rooming with Billy 12 Trees, and he described his Gloucester teammate as disloyal because 12 Trees allows a certain member of the England squad into Johnny May's room when Johnny May doesn't want him there. Who is that certain member of the England squad that Johnny May would want to keep out?
That's a good question.
Okay, all right. Should we say our first name for the most appearances as captain behind Richie McCaw?
Yes.
O'Driscoll.
Brian O'Driscoll.
Is correct.
Right. Now, I think we should write the other one down.
Yeah.
And hold it up. Have you got it written down, Jay?
Mm-hmm.
Jay has got it written down. Tim, what is yours? And Jay?
I got Jan de Villiers.
And Tim, you've got?
John Smith. Both South African.
Both South African.
Oh, that's a great one. No! No!
And the point goes to Tim Cocker.
No! Yes!
Yes!
I mean, I'm really happy about that one.
I'm so upset by this.
So does that mean I get two points for that?
2 points for Tim, 1 point for JB.
Okay. I went for 400 metres as Maggie Alfonsi's event. I didn't have a clue, I just had a guess.
I went javelin.
Jay is closer, but neither of you get a point.
Wait, both of them closer?
Because
I should get a point.
It is shot put.
Oh, I thought I'd just be insulting if I said that.
Okay.
How many attackers and defenders to make a maul? See, I know the answer to this for a ruck.
Well, you've got a ball carrier, and you've got the guy who holds him up. So I think you've got the guy who holds him up.
That's just a tackle.
Yeah,
but he's held up. So now the second guy comes in.
From the defending team.
Defending side. And
See, that's what it is for a ruck. So I actually, I use that logic.
So I think.
So Jay, how many attackers and defenders?
Two and two, I think.
Tim?
I put two and two.
Two and two. You're both incorrect.
It's two and one, is it?
It's two and one in favour of the attackers.
Two attackers, one defender.
Because
I knew that was what it was for a ruck, but I was trying to work out, well, surely if there's one defender, it's still a tackle. But no.
You need two attackers, one defender.
There you go. That refereeing didn't help me there, did it? It should have done. The England player that Billy 12 Trees kept letting into Johnny May, I just assumed it was the joker of the pack, so I just went Joe Marler.
And JB?
Damn it.
What did you say?
Well, I thought...
You can't change it now.
I thought it was within Gloucester, so I went Ben Morgan.
Tim gets the point again.
Yes!
So that is 3-1, but we'll have a... a list that will carry on the points, and there's 6 points available for the list.
Oh, wow. It's all to
play
for.
So it's all still to play for.
And the list is in your favour. Before we... I'll tell you what, we'll come back to the list in a minute.
Is it JB's favourite rugby players? 1 to 6.
We'll come back to the list in a minute. Here's a quick thing. Samoa tried, and unfortunately, because as we've talked about, their organisation wasn't good enough, they failed, but they tried a 14-man line-out. Quite a unique little tactical trick. Well, I've seen it before with Plymouth Albion when Graham Dawe was the head coach. he used to do that.
That makes sense.
And Wales have done it against the Half Blacks.
But
2 years ago.
New Zealand.
If anyone hasn't heard why you called them the Half Blacks, that's just going to sound really wrong. So it's to do with the fact their kit's not totally black this time.
No, it's got stripes.
So I was just thinking, are there any other little tactical things that you could do that's a bit unusual?
Well, here's the thing, right? I'm no great mind. Read into that what you want. And I can't understand why great minds, for instance, all the international coaches or all these experimental coaches, have not started reducing the amount of players in scrums. I mean, if you've got really...
Are you allowed to?
I don't know. Are you allowed to? I have a feeling you are.
Don't think so.
To what advantage?
If you had a rock-solid scrum, because you can scrum down with 7.
You can when there's a man, or people do when there's a man in the bin.
Yeah.
But sometimes you put a centre into...
I would have thought if the law was, and I don't know this, so you know, I might look a bit stupid, but if the law was you have to have 8, when a man is in the bin, it'd be mandatory to put in an 8th man.
Yeah.
That's what I'd have assumed. So if you've got a rock solid scrum, why not have an extra back?
To defend the channel, not play with an 8, play with the 2 flankers to cover the sides and have your 8 defending in the centre.
Yeah, well, or on attack as well.
Well, when you have a man down and you're a man short in the backs, this is only from my experience playing in teams, what we would always do, and I don't know if it's the same for you, Phil, but the scrum half wouldn't bother standing next to the scrum half. He would stand at the back foot and be the first man, and then everyone would shift out one more player than they would normally, so you compensate for the fact you've got a player less.
Well,
yeah, we used to defend that way when we had Clive Griffiths, who's the Canada defence coach. He would get, certainly in our own 22, the 9 would immediately drop to the back of the scrum anyway and cover either side. Mm.
The closest thing I've ever seen to this is Stephen Armitage would not pack down at flanker, I think. He'd go to first receiver.
No, exactly. When I was younger, like my county team, we had a little move where I would come off and I would stand at inside centre and I'd just run a really hard line towards the scrum half and just take a crash ball.
But your centre would presumably go to
the flanks.
Yeah. So it's whether you can do it and only pack down with 7.
Yeah.
Or fewer if you scrum solid enough.
The other thing I've always thought is why in rugby league is it acceptable to split the field into 2 effectively? So left centre, right centre.
Yeah.
Why has that not been thought of in rugby union?
I think rugby league's a lot more predictable. Whereas in rugby union, because of the rooks and moors, and because you're going to get uneven distribution of players because of that naturally, it'd be too difficult to do.
It was. I mean, it was a bit of a maverick tactic. I remember, we're going back about 6 or 7 years now, when I was playing at Manchester, or maybe even more than that, 7, 8 years. And it felt really maverick at the time. But what a lot of people do now, where they don't defend them all, Dave Baldwin, who was the coach, I think he's like England County's coach as well or something. Anyway, he used to drill us for hours doing the whole standing off, run round the back, and just sack it or tackle
cowardly.
Him and grab the ball.
I hate that. I hate that
but
much.
It's quite maverick. It felt really maverick.
Yeah.
It's much...
It happened to us on the weekend.
Another one that Brian Ashton used to do at Fylde, I don't know if he did it against you, when they had a midfield scrum, he'd bring the 2 wingers. So the 2 wingers would be first receiver, left and right, and it would just go to one of them, and they were just told to run, basically, look for gaps. And it was quite effective because you've got like 30 metres of directly behind the scrum. You've got a lot of space there that's difficult to cover. It used to be pretty effective for them.
That's pretty smart, actually.
Yeah, it was a good tactic and it was difficult to defend.
And also, zone blitzers, why aren't we... you've mentioned that you have done this, sending up one maverick player as like a lone blitzer. Did you do it in Newbury?
Why
imagine
not?
You've got your defensive line and that comes up at a certain speed.
Oh, No, it was Bath University. Yestyn Lewis, he was Wales A and... played for Bath and...
Yestyn, he's Welsh, you say?
Yeah, he's Welsh. We used to have a defensive system where we wouldn't compete, so therefore we'd always have at least an extra number, or we'd rarely compete, or we'd pick our when we competed. And so we'd always have extra numbers because they need more to win the ball than we'd have to defend it. And there'd be a few players designated that if they were in a certain position, they just fly. But they don't leave a dog leg because there's still a defensive line behind them, but one man can fly and try and hit someone behind the gain line. And it was pretty effective.
I like that.
Yeah, I like that as well. Because even if there's a chance that they will meet someone and take a man and ball, which is a low chance, but even if they don't, they'll be it'll be really disruptive. It will put extra pressure on them. And you, like you say, you've still got the solid line in behind them. That's quite a good tactic.
The only downside is often referees would just assume you're offside.
Would there be any better player at that role than Lewis Moody? Would he be the perfect lone blitzer?
Yeah.
He really would.
He would be pretty good, yeah. Slightly different vein. That's all a bit serious. I played a sevens tournament a few years ago, about 10 years ago when I was at uni, where each of the seven players was given a different job that was basically trying to disrupt the team. So one player had to take contact. So if you got the ball on the wing, 20 yards to run, running a try, he's got to cut back inside and take contact. One player has got to pass, but he can only pass as far as he possibly can every time. So he's got all his 30-yard passes every time. One player's job was to argue with the referee. So if we scored a try, he'd be like, "Sir, how can you give that? No way was that a try. It was offside. It was a forward pass. Didn't get the ball down." And it just made it completely different, ridiculous.
Someone has to kick, right?
Yeah, someone has to kick.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, that was quite good fun.
I reckon a maverick tactic we should employ is from a penalty kick. Don't bother kicking to touch. Tap. And then pass it to a wall of players. And then have someone running through a wall.
Take it back
to the 80s.
Well, yeah. Hear me now, believe me later. Get rid of the knock-on, because that's what everyone is calling for.
We can only hope.
Let's get back to this quiz then. We left it a moment ago, and I don't know how well you did, but I'm currently 3-1 up against JB, and Phil has prepared a little list-based trivia challenge.
Okay, the list is, I want you to write down the 6 clubs that Andy Goode has played at.
Yes, easy.
That is so in JB's favour.
And while you do, why don't you have a little piece of Stollen?
Oh, yes, please. Mmm, delicious.
Oh, lovely. Thank you very much. This is wonderful, Stollen. Mmm. That marzipan.
So I want club teams, not international teams, not representative teams.
Do we get an extra point for getting them in order?
Yes.
Mmm.
Oh, come on.
To make it interesting.
An extra 7th point.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get an 8th point for different spells. So 2 teams, different spells. So 1 team, different spells.
If you get it in the correct order, the exact correct order, I will give you a point. Extra point.
I've got 4. How many do I need to beat? Now that's made. Now that means I need the 5th one to win. All right.
This is a tricky one now.
Phil, this is wonderful.
It's all right, isn't it?
Mm.
First ever attempt at making Stollen.
Mm. Make sure you have a second attempt.
I will do.
I think we should give away a Christmas Stollen on our last episode before Christmas.
So last night was Saturday night, and I spent it baking Stollen with my girlfriend.
Because you changed.
Because I have changed. Because she's broken her hand. She had an operation on Friday.
Wow.
She was in the gym on Wednesday and dropped her 20 plate onto her finger and hand, broke it.
What's she doing with the 20 plate?
Frisbee.
She was doing some squats.
Just holding the plate?
No. 60 kg
squats. 60 kg squats. Yeah. Awesome. Like deep squats.
Yeah.
Fair play.
Yeah.
That's good.
Good technique.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, Claire. That might sound patronising if you're listening.
I know, because she's not exactly the kind of girl you'd expect to
be doing 60 kg squats.
Yeah, so she's somehow managed to combine my 2 favourite things, which is being in the gym and being injured.
Yeah.
I'm very, very jealous.
Right, Andy Goode's 6 clubs.
Mm-hmm.
Right, let's get the obvious ones out of the way. Wasp, who he's currently with.
Mm-hmm.
You got that down, Jay?
Uh-huh.
So that's a point each.
The one he started at, I think, Leicester Tigers.
Mm-hmm.
That is 2 points each. You've both got that.
Before Wasps, he was at Worcester.
Mm-hmm.
You got that. Obviously, you've got it, Jay.
3 yep. points each.
Now it gets trickier. Now, I know he's been abroad and played for various sides, but I'm pretty sure he played for Saracens in England as well.
He did play for Saracens.
See, I didn't know if he actually made a start for them. I knew he was in like the squad.
He's there for like 2 years, I think.
He played 2 seasons, played about 30 games for him.
Him and George Shooter, weirdly.
Did George Shooter play there as well?
Yeah, they both went there and they both came back.
There's 2 others then, yeah. And one was in France and one was in South Africa.
That is correct.
And it's potluck whether I get them right or not.
Okay.
Shall I write down? I'll write down what I've got so you know I'm not cheating, and then
yeah, I've got. I can see Jay's as well. He's got two written down.
Okay.
Oh, for God's sake.
So, Tim, what have you got written down?
I've got written down Breathe.
Yes.
And Natal Sharks.
And Jay, what have you got written down?
Breathe and Natal Sharks.
I can confirm that that is exactly correct.
Yes! Yes!
I can also confirm that looking at Jay's paper, Jake, do you want to read your order?
I think this is how it goes. I think it was Tigers, Saracens, Tigers, Sharks, Breves, Sharks, Worcester, Wasps.
You've got two Sharks there.
I think he had two. One Sharks. Yeah. I'm thinking of Michelac. What? Michelac went there twice. Tigers,
Saracens.
Tigers. I think it'd be Sharks, then Breves, then Worcester, then Wasps.
You don't get an extra point. It was Breves, then Sharks. You were all correct besides that. It was Tigers, Saracens, Tigers, Breves, Sharks.
Sorry, Andy. I'm sorry.
So 4-1. 5-1.
5-1. 5-1 overall.
It's getting a bit embarrassing now.
Javelin, it's not a rugby question.
It is a rugby question.
It's not a rugby question. How would anyone know that?
World Cup winner.
It's worth winning just because you hate losing so much. That's made my day. That and the Stollen, I'm a happy man.
Stollen was excellent. Well done, Phil.
Right, we will be back on the next podcast. I suppose we better let's briefly preview the upcoming fixtures. England against Australia. Really exciting game. I hope that it's a George Ford, Eastman, Burrell axis in midfield. I'd love to see that.
Yeah, me too. I think up front, England should be able to get the better of them. I think you said that last week, Tim, and I do agree. And it's whether we can kind of utilise the additional ball that we'll get. Because Australia showed in every game in the last month or so, when they do get good front foot ball, they've got some really dangerous backs.
Yeah, super dangerous backs.
Yeah.
And now they've got Henry Speight to add into all this.
Yeah.
It was lovely seeing Genya and Cooper together at half-back for the last 10-15 minutes.
But Phipps and Foley are playing really well.
Playing really well.
And Tamua inside centre really well as well.
Kurundrani. So many good players, haven't
they? Yeah, and Folau as well.
I fully expect England to win that one. They have to.
Do you reckon? They've got like Gitto fella somewhere. Yeah. And O'Connor. And, you know, just the guys they don't have.
Yeah.
I'm hoping England will win that one. Wales, South Africa, will Wales finally put this demon to bed?
Have we got another game, have we? No, is the answer.
South Africa didn't play well against Italy. They made really
I'm going to say Wales are going to win. Last chance to play Southern Hemisphere team before the World Cup.
2-point loss.
They'll be buoyed by the fact that they were until the last 10 minutes.
No, I think they'll be buoyed by the Australia defeat. I think they'll be devastated by the New Zealand defeat, the manner of it and the way they collapsed late on.
Maybe.
I'm going for Wales.
South Africa, unfortunately.
Bath Quins in the Premiership.
Bath
will win at home on Friday night.
Friday night. I'd love to Friday night game.
Yeah, that'd be lovely at the Rec. That'd be good. Saturday, and it's Leicester Wasps. Leicester did not look good.
Midlands Derby. I think Wasps.
Wasps didn't play particularly well against Exeter.
I'm going to go Leicester at home. Leicester at home.
Yeah, it is a really tough place to go, and they're getting better. Very quick thing. Toot, Thomas the Tank scored again this weekend.
What happened? Any exciting news?
No, not from what I saw, but I was reading a little comment section on a website, and someone said that about Waldrum's renaissance. Mm-hmm. Why did Leicester let him go? And someone else said that, well, he's 31. They let him go because he's getting on a bit. So, to which the person obviously replied, is this the Leicester that's just signed 39-year-old Brad Thorne and they let go of 31-year-old Thomas Waldron, who's in the form of his life?
Well, more Thomas Waldron-related chat. Have they installed the diesel horn yet?
Well, they were talking about it. We've been championing this, and you know, when we get onto things, things happen. Perfect example was, and I'm going to say, we were the first people on the Honey Badger. You go back and you listen to our podcast right at the very start, and I'm telling you, people were not on the Honey Badger. We were. Things happen when we get involved. What was another one, Jay?
Well, when we really made a difference, not just to ourselves, but to the lives of all others. Trainers in photo shoots being replaced by
exactly.
Boots.
We exposed the shame and horror of captains in promotional shots before the season posing in trainers. And lo and behold, this season, that's almost eradicated.
Almost. I mean, there are some pockets of exceptions here and there.
We claim The honour of that. And we're going to claim, when there is a diesel horn finally installed at Sandy Park, we will claim that, because we have been having in talks on Twitter with fans of Chiefs who are trying to get on board our little campaign and trying to get it installed
now
at Sandy Park.
I do appreciate the sentiment that they want to play it over, you know, just like a sound effect and play it over the tannoy. No! I want an actual diesel horn rigged up to a V12.
It's got to be authentic.
It has
baby
to be
steps,
authentic.
Baby steps, come on, baby steps. Exeter against Saracens. I'm going to go for Exeter to win again.
Exeter at home.
At home, in incredible form.
And Saracens are missing quite a few internationals. They lost at home, obviously, to Northampton.
Yeah, the
today.
First time anyone scored over 30 points against Saracens.
Everything is going right for Exeter. And you look at the teams they've played during this international window, Northampton and Saracens. I mean...
But perfect, isn't it?
Perfect.
Yeah, it is going really
Maybe
well
I'm getting carried away, but I'm going Exeter.
I got carried away with Exeter last year, and I'm going to get carried away with Exeter this year. Win.
Exeter win.
On Sunday, Irish play Gloucester. Irish will have their Islander contingent returning, and Scotland, Blair Cowan returning. They still have got a lot of injuries. I'm going to go for an Irish win at home.
I hope so, yeah.
Give me Ireland.
Oh, okay, I managed to convince you of that.
Gloucester are not a good team at the moment.
No, they're not. London Welsh, Northampton. In front of the fence again.
Toss-up.
It's going to be tight. This one's an interesting one. Newcastle at home.
Yeah.
Playing really well. Newcastle playing really well at home.
This should be a good game.
It
won't be exciting, expansive rugby.
No, far from
it. No one's going to want to watch it, but it's going to be a good game.
It's going to be an interesting contest.
I'll go Sale.
I'm going to say Newcastle to continue their incredible run of form.
They're going to win in the clubhouse that has the longest bar in Europe or whatever it is. I'm going to go for Falcons.
And in the Pro 12, just rattling through these, Cardiff Blues against Treviso.
Cardiff.
Munster against Ulster. That's a tidy match.
That is a good game.
Ulster.
So Ireland haven't
second
got...
Second v third, this one.
Yeah, Ireland haven't got a game this week and they should have most of their...
Full-blooded match.
Yeah, it should be a really good match. 7:35 on Friday night.
Yeah, I might watch that.
Yeah.
Munster, Ulster. I'm going to go Ulster.
Yeah, Ulster.
Edinburgh at Zebre. Edinburgh.
Edinburgh.
Leinster at home to Ospreys.
Should be another good game.
Really good game. Yeah. I'll go Leinster at home.
Yeah, Leinster at home, with their internationals back.
And I'll say Connor, who got a really good win at the weekend to beat Scarlets at home.
Yeah, Mills Mulayena.
Can he tackle, yeah? Do you know? Has he managed to make any tackles?
I don't know about that. Right up said he played very, very well.
He's a very good player.
Yeah.
And Glasgow against the Dragons. Glasgow with their Scottish contingent returning. Basically means they get their whole team back.
Right. Yeah. When's that on?
That is on Sunday, 4 p.m.
Do I watch that or not? I said I would.
Could watch it in the studio.
It's
in
instead
the
of it. Yeah, we can watch it during
I
the
think
podcast.
Past experiences have told us putting rugby on whilst doing a podcast isn't great. Yeah, especially for my attention span. I suppose I have to watch Glasgow. I made an undertaking that I would.
And you get to watch Andy Powell.
Thank you very much, JB.
Thank you, Tim.
Thank you, Phil.
Thank you, Ayula, as well.
It's a pleasure anytime.
Ayula, who's going to win, England or Australia?
England by 8 points. I'll be Ayula. Go.
Ayula, who would be your England midfield partnership?
Well, there are a lot of good guys up there, and I was honoured to wear the rose. And as I said before, at the end of the day, whoever plays, they'll all do a good job. They'll all be looking to the future and just concentrating on one game at a time. So at the end of the day, with all due respect, the guys will do a good job.
Brilliant.
Media trained.
Thanks, Ayula.
Thank you, Ayula. At Rugby Podcast is where you can find us. You can listen on iTunes, and please do keep leaving us the little reviews on iTunes. It means a lot, and it warms the cockles of our heart to see that people listen and to see that you enjoy it and that you're happy to give feedback and stuff. And it's one brilliant way. If you remotely appreciate what we do, and we do it for other rugby fans and because we love rugby just like you, if you remotely appreciate it, then leaving a little review on iTunes is one way that you can help us bump up the charts, and we'd really appreciate it. So do that. And at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, my favourite tweet of the weekend said, Joe Schmidt's diary yesterday. This is Paul Williams. Joe Schmidt's diary from Saturday. Breakfast, ignore appendicitis pain. Lunch, beat the Wallabies, have my appendix removed, bed. Flipping legend. Right, thank you very much for listening. Nice one, JB.
Thank you, Tim.
Nice one, Phil.
Cheers, Tim.
Nice one, Ayula.
Thanks, Tim.
Okay, this is unusual, but it's with good reason that I come back one hour after we finish the podcast. And just to let you in and peel back the curtain a little bit, Phil and JB, they just go straight off home. They don't do any of the graft. That's left to me. But you already knew that. You could guess that. But I'm coming back to add a little bit more to the end of the podcast because I've just received a tweet to at Rugby Podcast from Fatty Matty, an Exeter Chiefs fan, who says, "Boys, I do hope you guys can hear the remix of Thomas Waldrum's try celebrations on the ITV highlights. We were talking about it on the podcast. It's been our latest crusade. And it looks like, once again, with your support and your help, the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast has changed the world. So keep your ears out. Make sure you watch the highlights. If you hear a brand new try celebration that features a diesel engine, then we did that. We did that." Fatty Matty, there's one solitary tear rolling down my cheek as I speak, and very, very proud. And thank you very much for getting in touch. It's been emotional. We'll see you next time.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.